Well, my memory's gone blank. I wonder how we would describe a local church. How would we describe a local church? Let's see. How would we start? Saints, people. Okay, so we've got a group of people. And what about these group of people? What about them? What makes them different, okay, from other groups of people? Worship Christ Jesus. So we're doing work and worship together, okay? Saved. We're in a local area, aren't we? Okay, one location. Mm-hmm. Working together. All right, so we've got a group of people, but these people are Christians. And these Christians are doing something peculiar as a group that's different from the world. They're doing work and worship together in Christ. Those things peculiar to being in Christ. And what about it's peculiar to the group that we have also, that we have a common oversight, common treasury, common work. So those are things that are, and again, in one location. So if you're going to describe a local church of God, of Christ, okay, that's a good definition. So we've been looking at the oversight. We're going to finish that today and get into the responsibilities of individuals. Now, in your lesson, page 30, at the bottom of that, number 3, that's where we left off last time. And we talked about qualifications of local oversight. Oversight was in the first century. And of course, that's our sound doctrine, our pattern. And there are substitutions being made to that. Sometimes people want to substitute preacher rule or voting or boards and directors and that sort of thing. But also, in that last, number 3, there's rejection, too, of that, isn't there? We just don't want that. And there's an interesting example in 1 Samuel 8, in 4 through 8. And it says, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, 'Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations.'" And verse 7, "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, Samuel." They haven't rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king and ruler over them. So they had some problems, but they would reject the whole system and be like the nations around them. What should they have done? Got some more judges, some good judges. All right, continued system that they had that God had put up. God said, okay, let them lay in that system and see what happens. So they rejected God. And same thing for us in the New Testament. God is set up. We saw it operating. We saw it being sound doctrine taught by the apostles. A system, I guess you'd call it, okay, of a local church, a local congregation. And who are we to change that? Because when we change that system that God has given to us, we're rejecting God, aren't we? So that's a standing that we don't want to be in, or no one wants to be in. So it's an interesting point and a good lesson for all of us to think about. But things happen anyway. So in number 3 there, it says the second century, you know, people had bishops and they had elders in congregations, and somehow it developed that let's have a superior bishop or superior elder in a congregation. And then from there it developed into let's have an oversight over multiple congregations. And it got larger and larger as time went by. As time went by, then it evolved into a one world, one oversight religion. Okay? And that's the things you have to fight against, because again, that's not God's plan, the sound doctrine, and taught by the apostles. And let me say something about that. Why, if you have a human, I'll say, over the religious practices and doctrines and teachings and all that sort of thing of one group, okay, worldwide, what can happen? What could happen to the teachings and the doctrine? What? It gets distorted. And who's changing it? Well, a person will, won't they? Or a group of guys who are over all these people. So the influence is great. Great. Okay? When you get people involved in making eternal decisions. Okay? For people. And why not use the book which God provided, which these groups have provided through the centuries? Why not use that? Because it's got the verification, it's got the authenticity of it, it's got all the things it needs to be that perfect guide for us day by day. Yes, ma'am. And a solemn warning, a solid warning from an apostle of God, guided by the Holy Spirit, who gave that warning to the Ephesian elders that ravaging wolves would be among them and draw away the flock with these teachings that are contrary. Our teaching is dramatic sometimes. You know, all of a sudden we're going from, you know, water baptism to no water baptism. Okay? No, it's very gradual over time. And if you've been around long enough, or you're a student of history, you'll see that that happens. So those are things we need to understand, okay, and be aware of in life, okay, in all situations of life. We see it in culture. We see a lot of things that seem to change. Now, in the 19th century, you know, as Alexander Campbell developed, taught, things changed also. Christian, you see, disciples of Christ, Christian church, developed out of those things that Campbell had taught and his son. And they started warning, well, let's be like the nations around us. Let's do some changes. And they dealt with, musical instruments. They dealt with acceptance of baptisms from different groups. Of course, if you're baptized in the Episcopal church, a Roman Catholic church, what's your view of water baptism and the necessity of it? It's different. I mean, it really has to be different. Okay? So those are things that developed there, and we've seen that, you know, since, what, 1850s or so, and going on. And today, you have things going in within the Christians that seem to want oversight over more than a local church. So those things are not scriptural. Not scriptural. They're not sound doctrine. So oversight of more than one local church is something that is contrary to what's taught. And so those are things to think about as we change in time. The local church and the oversight of the local church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. it's an interesting point that Wally makes, that how do we accomplish good, those things that feel good and accomplish things? How do we deal with that when it's contrary, a variance to the Word? How do you deal with that? And, you know, the orphans, dealing with orphans was another issue that came up and did a lot of harm, okay, to Christians. And today, I guess, it's not even debated. But the point is, you have to be careful of the emotional part. And after all, God has given us other avenues to do good, especially in this country. That if someone wants to help someone in need, an orphan, a widow, to deal with preaching the gospel, there are ways to do that other than being a variance to what God has revealed to us in the work of a local church. After all, we're individuals. We're individuals. If we have that need and want that need fulfilled, we can do that. We can do that. So, as Wally pointed, good works are sometimes, maybe not deliberately, maybe so, disguised, okay, disguised to help, to expedite, to make things more efficient, to do a bigger work. So those sort of things need to be aware of in life, especially as we're serving God and doing those things in Christ and God's revealed. So, good point. All right. And so the oversight of the local church. Now we have on the next page, 31, our questions, our fill in the blanks, that sort of thing. We'll probably go through this pretty well. So our first question on page 31, is the early church followed the majority vote? Is that what they did? Is that what's been revealed to us in Scripture? No, as we look at Acts chapter 2, we see that that early church, okay, in 242, followed the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching. Now, why would you follow that guy, those 12 guys? John 13, 14, 15, 16, right? It reveals that these 12 guys, okay, 12 men in oversight, that were inspired by God, led by the Spirit in the things that they were revealing, okay, as teaching from God. Prophets, if you say. So what they said reflected was the wishes of God, the heart of God, the man of God, or the mind of God. So those sort of things were to be listened to, adhered to. After all, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. What do I do now? Well, listen to the apostles, because they're led by deity, led by God. All right. So there's the authority, okay, and the ambassadorship of the apostles as they did that. Now, it's not on your lesson, but again, if you look at 1 John 4, 6, as it testing the spirits and that sort of thing. But here's the apostle talking. We are from God. He who knows God, listen to us. That's what we're dealing with. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we're from God. Listen to us. Listen to us. So there's another verse to deal with the authority, leading of the apostles by the Holy Spirit of God. So, interesting point to remember the apostles and the people who are of God. Now, and number two, mass drawing line. We know that. We can see the different verses beside it there. Elders and overseers and shepherds have equivalent names, same people, and the world recognizes that. It's presbyters, bishops, and pastors. And they originally had a cross in it, but I just put the line straight across. So you would match straight across on those. And elders are ones who seem to have some experience, older age, Sometimes you can gain a lot of experience at a younger age too, but it's usually hard lessons. But time goes by, you do gain lessons from meeting people. And let me say this, you never know it all, whatever age you are. There'll always be something else come up, a turn or a twist or something brand new, especially as societies evolve, things change. So that's just to let you know that as you're reading in your Bible, okay, those six names are the same group of people, same people, and therefore the qualifications are the same for them. Now, number three, in Acts 20 and 17, which was referenced a minute ago, at least in Acts 20, he calls for who? He calls for the elders, the local leadership, the local oversight of the church in Ephesus to come to him. And the apostle, you know, talks to them. And as he's addressing these men whom the Holy Spirit has made, you'll see the word overseer, he told them that they were to feed the flock. Well, feed the flock is a word, okay? Flock kind of lends you to think about a pastor, okay, a shepherd, that sort of thing. So, and feeding the flock is the work of shepherds and pastors in 3b. So that's where we get the idea that those six names above there in other places, those six names refer to the same group of men, okay, who provide that local oversight and leadership, sacrifice, okay? I think sometimes when you deal with elders and overseers and shepherds, I think sometimes shepherds has the widest connotation, the widest application, because after all, there's protection involved when a shepherd is over sheep. Okay, there's leadership involved, there's the example, there's all kind of things involved in shepherding or pastoring. But the other two are just as important in the application that they're given. Now, in number four, 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2, Peter wrote that the elders and told them to feed the flock, which is what shepherds and pastors do. Then he tells these men to exercise oversight. Well, oversight, overseer, in other words, overseers, okay, superintend. So those things, as a point of order, is a proof that God has revealed that these six names refer to the same people. Now, in number five, how many elders? Well, God has revealed something to us, that this local oversight is not one person rule, that there is a plurality involved. And if we're going to listen to Scripture, if we're going to abide in the apostles' doctrine, if we're going to listen to the mouthpiece of God, if we're going to reflect that Christ has said, listen to these men, these teachers, these inspired ones, and what they wrote, then we've got nothing but examples, multiple examples, of a plurality in the local leadership, the oversight. So in Lystra, in Acts 14, 21 and 23, there's a plurality. In Iconium, same verses, 14, 21, 23. And Antioch of Pisidia, Acts 14, 21, 23. So there's a plurality of there. And in Jerusalem, we can understand that they have a plurality in Acts 15, 2 and 4. And Ephesus, which we were just reading, that he called the elders to come to him and they would talk. And that was Acts 20 and 17. And then in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, especially 13, that there's a plurality there. So when it's dealt with, okay, when it's talked about, this leadership and oversight, it's ours plurality in a local church. Now, the qualifications you see in 1 Timothy 3, sometimes an argument brought up, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, well, that's talking about one person. Well, yes, talking about one person, that's a qualification for one person. The application of those qualifications and the number of individuals who serve as local oversight is handled in these verses we just went through. So So don't let me be caught in that argument sometimes. All right. In number six question, bishops have scriptural authority to oversee whom? Okay. A, B, C, D, and E. Well, you could choose more than one, I guess, but there's only one answer. And which one do you have? B, because it has the word among in it. And you can see there in Acts 20 and 28 and 1 Peter 5, 2, that it's among. And why not? Why not take that one word and make the application to say that local oversight should be among the flock? Should be among those that are overseen, over those who provide leadership. So how in the world can you watch over souls? How can you know about people's lives if you're not there? If you're some remote place, or you meet, you might meet them once a year. How can you know what's going on? How can you deal with leadership and the idea of shepherd and flock? So God chose that word very precisely to be among, okay? And that's the leadership of a local church. So, and that negates the idea of remote leadership, doesn't it? Okay, and the work and worship of people, of the flock of God. So those are things to think about as you go through life or visit other places, that God has revealed, okay, that that leadership should be among the group. And matter of fact, you can pretty well look at the word uses of among in Scripture, and it almost always has that application. All right? Now, so that's number B on that. Number seven, and we looked at this last time. It's a very good point to deal with. Is something lacking, wanting, unfulfilled where there are no elders, pastors, presbyters? Yes, something, because if you look at Titus 1:5, it says, when he came back and he's instructed by the apostle, there's something remaining to be done, Titus. Something that is unfulfilled, something that's incomplete. So to be the complete, to fulfill, was to have local oversight. So that's the goal of a group, to have local oversight. And a group that doesn't have that, and we went over last time different reasons why they don't have that. While they're not trying to work towards it. Of course, you don't want to put unqualified people in. But the point is to work for that. So the best chance for a group to be what it should be, to be in Christ, to do the teaching and the oversight and the watching souls, the best thing is to put together those things that God has revealed to us. And that's local oversight. So that's what Titus was dealing with and Paul was dealing with in that Titus 1:5. Now, congregational meetings. To whom do the collected funds of a congregation belong? Well, when we looked at 4:32 and also 5:4, that these funds, okay, belong to the ones who contributed, don't they? Why not? Okay? You see that, and there's some lawsuits going on in unions that they collect the funds, but they don't use those funds in political purposes to support the candidates of the people who contributed those funds. So there's big lawsuits going on control of those funds. Same idea, that there's a control of those funds by you, because you gave it. You gave it. Okay? That's why in our oversight, there's common things. A common thing is our budget, is our funds. And you're involved in every step of that. When there's a change in the budget, you're involved in it. We don't dictate. We don't command. We just recommend. But you have the authority on that to object to it, question it, whatever things you want to do. And things can be changed. So it's your funds. Now, do you think those to whom the funds belong should be consulted as to how those funds are spent? Well, the answer is yes. Okay? Be prepared to explain why you believe as you do. And again, in Acts 4 and 4:32. So, and it's common. God has taken something that we all have exposure to every day. Okay? Do you oversee the funds in your home, your household? Yes, you do, okay? But you can relinquish that control, can't you? When you give your funds to someone else to do some kind of work or want something done, okay, you've given those funds up. So there's a point in time that you can lose control over it. But you do it. You're on your own initiative. You do that. Now, and it's common to all of us. And 8A2, if husband consults his wife before buying a new house, he has forfeited his authority. No. Why? That's exactly right. Okay, including her thoughts, her input, and it's a joint effort, isn't it? All right. Those are things that are both common. They're both utilizing the results of that. So, and isn't life that way? I know sometimes in business you work under males or females, whatever it is, but the goal is deal with the aim, isn't it? The function, the output. And so it's things to think about in reference to that. Of course, we need to keep in mind Titus 2:5 and 1 Timothy 2:12. So when we move on to number B, congregational meetings. Well, what about congregational meetings? We looked at Acts chapter 6 and knowing that there were some the apostles in that Jerusalem church were pretty busy. Thousands of new converts, I guess you'd say. And what do? There was a problem with providing service to some widows there. And it just wasn't getting complete. So the apostles realized, well, you congregation in Jerusalem, you need to pick 7 guys to take care of this special servant duties. We just can't deal with it because our special duty is to preach the gospel, convert people, build faith. So in Acts chapter 6, as an example, okay, the congregation was present in Jerusalem, and the 12 apostles were present. And A and B2, who was in charge during the meeting? Well, the apostles were, but their instructions were, listen, congregation, you choose. You choose. Were they capable of choosing? Yeah, the apostles could have chose, and rightly so. But God's instruction was, congregation, you choose. You choose who you want to do these special duties. And the same thing goes over to choosing local oversight also. So we remember that, and we look at Acts chapter 6, the congregation, verse 3. They also saw in Acts chapter 15, not a stray incident out here in Acts chapter 6, but in Acts chapter 15, 7 through 29, there was an issue, matter of fact, an eternal issue. Do you stay with basically Judaism or not, the price of Judaism? Revolved around circumcision. Do you stay with that? Is that part of Christianity? Is that part of what the apostles' doctrine? And it was not. But the decision on that involved the congregation in the decision-making process. So those things that are common among a congregation needs to be involved. Needs to be involved. And that's by biblical example. At least a couple of spots here. So, in that one, in that congregational meeting, Acts 15, who was present during this meeting? Well, the whole church in Jerusalem and the apostles. And who was in charge during the meeting? Apostles and the elders. Okay. And they recommended, church, you choose. And they did that. And number 3, a decision was made in this meeting involving knowledge, fully informed, understanding. Well, I don't quite understand that point in the budget, that point in here. Well, let's explain it. Let's get our understanding right on that. Because if this is your funds, the common treasury, then let's think about that in the understanding part. And again, the approval at the end of it. Okay? Yes, this is the action we need to take. This is the road we need to go down. So there's an information flow, transparency, if you want to use that word. Those are good because that settles a group. It deals with questions. it helps well, okay, as far as leadership goes and God's plan. Be there, write the scripture that discusses a man's business being to decide the affairs of the church. Well, sit the congregations involved. When the apostles were there, they provided that oversight. Well, how is oversight by example shown in scripture? Well, the congregation's involved. Well, where is the scripture deals with men business meeting, dealing with those issues of common oversight? Well, it's not there. And sometimes, you know, people be forced into situations to provide oversight or help, okay, or leadership. But the point is God's plan is not that, not be the end and purpose and what you settled on in life that we're comfortable with. You need to work God's plan, and it is for local oversight to be hands of elders and a congregation, not a men's business meeting. All right. Probably the main reason people have stayed with the men's business is probably tradition. We've always done it that way. And that's something to think about sometimes. Not to change for sake of change, but to question where traditions have come from sometime. Paul was not afraid of traditions. Good traditions that need to be handed down. Approved by God. So let's remember that in life. All right. In number 9, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. And this is some verse we looked at a while ago, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Okay? How did the Holy Spirit make them overseers? Did the Holy Spirit, given to the mouthpiece of God, apostles, again, John 13 through 16, and that apostles' doctrine, as they taught in Titus and Timothy. Yeah, that's right. Here's the list of qualifications. Here's the things to think about when you're choosing your local oversight. So that's how the Holy Spirit. How do we have what we have now? The Holy Spirit revealed it through the mouth, the writings, okay, of those who are inspired. That's why we can trust the scripture as we can, because it is from God. Okay? All right. And also in 1 Peter 5, among, again, also dealing with that reference. Where are the character qualifications for elders found? We just talked about 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9. Who were Timothy and Titus? Were they apostles? These preachers, weren't they? Okay. So those preachers preach, teach, expose what? Their own personal opinions? Teaching the apostles, okay? Because apostles are gone, okay, are not present all the time. Who's present all the time to deal with some teaching and preaching, tell people what they need to know that's in Scripture? All right? So here's something they needed to know as they traveled, as they taught, as they went over each of the 15 or 16 points of those character qualifications and other qualifications. So they needed to know that. So that's why he gave it to Timothy and Titus. Now, apparently in some other places, you know, they did it, not written down, but they did it, you know, when they visited and that sort of thing. But the point is, we know that Paul in the Corinthian letter twice says he teaches the same thing in every church, every local church. So there is no inconsistency in what's, or error in what he's taught. So the same standards, same qualifications are taught in all those congregations, no doubt in Jerusalem also, okay? Because they had oversight and elders there. So that's does that give you confidence? Yes, gives you confidence. It also lends the point, too, that when you see variants from Scripture in the religious world, you know, those principles have really been neglected or forgot about or never known. So the consistency of teaching must be that way because it's been revealed one time for all time. And again, Jesus' words will judge us in the last days. Now, write the verse in number 11, write the verse that authorizes a preacher to oversee a church under certain conditions. I don't know of any verse. Okay? Preachers preach. In season, out of season. Things want to be heard or not to be heard. And shame on a congregation. Shame on a congregation when they throw their duties on the preacher. Okay? Because he has another duty, a difficult duty to do. And also on the preacher himself, okay? For he should expose that from the pulpit or personal talks when he's, and those kind of duties of the congregation are pushed off on him and him alone. Yes, sir. Well, whose duty is to go out and know about people? Yes, all the members, isn't it? Okay. Because we're a family, aren't we? Okay. When I'm up in Branson now, the guys on the standing up in front now, it's a family. We're a family, all right? And that's a certain way to think about it, isn't it? Okay. We certainly are. Brothers and sisters, okay, in Christ. So that's the idea of, and we should have brotherly love, which we'll get into in the next issue, probably maybe today. But brotherly love, family thinking, okay, support one another, know about each other. So those sort of things deal with a preacher. All right. But teaching can deal with that issue. And sometimes, you know, things still got to be done, okay? So on the next page, page 32, oversight may be lost by being forcibly taken away. How can you forcibly take away oversight? I lived in China, or I lived in the Middle East, and we're in a congregation in a local house or something. It can be forcibly taken away, can it? Okay? Break the door down and disrupt a church, a group of people, saved people. Also, how else can it be done? What other way can it be lost? A local group of people can voluntarily give up the oversight. We don't want it. We don't want it. See, that's probably most cases the way it works. All right? We've been comfortable with what we're doing. We don't want that. So that's oversight. Now, so things can come from within. And the next verses there deal with 13, 14, and 15 deal with issues, and you can look at those. It goes back to the idea of collecting churches, which Scripture does not collect churches. It collects people. Okay, church collects people, not churches. And that's the denominational viewpoint. And you don't see that in Scripture, and you can see those points in there in dealing with oversight. And also goes to the point that when you have this local oversight that's got to the sponsoring church and getting in things that you shouldn't be getting involved with. Elders overseeing, you can see those points in there. I looked at again at these churches here, doing the Herald of Truth on World Radio and this other congregation here, Pipeline Church in Hearst, and they're still doing it. And matter of fact, this week I reviewed their websites. And what's interesting, as you get more and more involved, slow process, get more and more involved in things that are a little deviation, after a while it's a big deviation, isn't it? Okay. And what's interesting here, I was looking at the one in Louisiana here, White's Road Ferry, which is B, 15B. And remember Duck Dynasty? Robertson, the guy with the big beard? Okay, he was on TV for about 5 years and reruns now. That's where he attends as an elder. They got 12 elders there. And now they have two services. He here's the way it goes. 9 a.m., they do an acapella in their song and worship and communion. But it's 11:15 service, still communion, but they have instrumental music. So they're moving along also, progressing towards things that are not shown in, as examples and proved examples in Scripture. So it's interesting how time goes by. You start down a road, things change. So I'm sorry for those people, brethren. Now, in 16, some Brother Believe Church of Christ may build and maintain orphan homes, and we talked about that in James 1:27. And like we were talking a while ago, orphans is a do-good project. It's got emotion attached with it. And when you involve children, it's another issue. But if you look at Scripture in 1:27, you see those verses around that, and the whole context of that is individual actions. Individual actions and not a work of the church, okay, as a collective. And in 17, talking about, you know, if churches can combine their resources into one eldership to preach the gospel, as in a missionary setting, that sort of thing, can 30 churches do it? Can 300? Can 3,000? So if the principle is there for combining this oversight of something that's not a local church, why can't they oversee 30, 300, 3,000? Why can't you oversee the whole world? And that leads us back to Rome, doesn't it? All right? Same idea. So that's a great bit. It takes time, as Wally was saying. It takes time for that to change. So universal oversight is that. Okay? And why can't you do that? If you're doing it in preaching, why can't you do it in benevolence? Sure. Why can't you do it in evangelism, which we talked about? So those are things that divert our attention in the things of Christ. And next time we'll start on the next verse, or next lesson, last lesson, lesson number 7. And appreciate your attention. Thank you.